Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back in to a brand new episode of the show. Happy Friday all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the top plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games, like last night's Kansas City versus Houston Texans game that we all got to see. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to break down. Broncos news of the day, also our lead story. A key Broncos player on the offensive side of the ball left practice yesterday with an injury at the wide receiver position. We go through what's the prognosis. Is this player going to miss any time? Plus, also, how does the injury status affect the offense if he does miss time? We go through Thursday's practice report. We talk about the Broncos bringing in an outside linebacker, looking to bring in another outside linebacker that didn't work out the way they intended. And we also take a look at our week one NFL picks, all in today's jam-packed episode of the show. You can also listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast. We are here for you every single day. So if you're listening to this right now and you're not yet subscribed, hit that subscribe or the follow button to receive daily exclusive Denver Broncos content from an X's and O's standpoint. Let's kick things off, though, Broncos country, with our Broncos lead story of the day. Wide receiver Courtland Sutton left practice early on Thursday for the Denver Broncos at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado, with an apparent shoulder injury. He sustained the injury while running routes against air, appeared to outstretch a little bit, and then had to plant his right hand into the ground to catch himself, and that led to an apparent shoulder injury. He took a couple moments. He sat there, knelt down. Zach Azani came by and checked on him, and then he left with the trainers, did not return to practice. And I think for a moment, just because everything that's happened so far this week for the Broncos organization with the loss of Von Miller, the injury he sustained, I think everybody in Broncos country, a lot of Broncos fans were pressing the panic button. There was a lot of darkness on the timeline when that happened. So Sutton underwent an MRI shortly afterwards after practice had concluded, and he was waiting the results. The results came back, and they say that he's got an AC joint sprain in his right shoulder, and this is the absolute best news possible, I think, for the Broncos, because it's not a bone injury. It's not where he's got a broken bone. Somebody had thrown out there on Twitter, they're like, did he hurt his collarbone? No, that wasn't the case. Especially non-contact, usually that involves having some sort of fall or anything like that. I know a lot of people are thinking about that, but no collarbone. AC joint sprain, I've had that before, and it sucks. Like, you know, it's just a little uncomfortable. You have to really get used to getting that mobility. You have a little bit of scar tissue that kind of builds up, not necessarily right away, but some calcium, because it is a joint and it is necessary to move. And so you want to try to keep it still, but you also want to keep it greased up a little bit. It's the fine line when you're really dealing with something like that. But for Courtland Sutton, his status is day to day. It now puts him into question for Monday's game against the Tennessee Titans. He is questionable. We'll see how he does at practice day, whether or not he practices or whether or not he goes through it on a limited basis. There's also the idea that he could do an injection in his shoulder. But ideally, I think we got to take a look at a couple scenarios here for the Broncos in the event that Courtland Sutton does not play on Monday night against the Titans. Who steps up if he does miss time? I think it's relatively simple when you look at the depth chart. You look at the players that the Broncos have at that position. You bump over Jerry Jeudy as wide receiver one, and you can still do everything you plan to do with him, even if he's at wide receiver one designation. He can line up outside. He can line up inside. Stuff he's already going to do on Monday night. Then you bump over Tim Patrick. He's wide receiver two. And then in comes Deshaun Hamilton. He's going to be another guy that gets into the rotation a little bit. So the Broncos have options there. And Sutton's 6'4" size obviously would be missed if he was out. But the Broncos do have 6'4" size here with Tim Patrick, and he's continuing to evolve as well. And also, don't sleep on Tyree Cleveland. He's had a really impressive offseason for the Broncos, really impressive training camp. Drew Lock said it in his media session a couple days ago that he's very impressive, very consistent, doesn't drop too many passes. He's sizable, and he's also got a lot of speed. So look for Tyree Cleveland to really make an impact in some way, shape, or form for the Broncos this season. I expect him to maybe have that kind of role Tim Patrick had a few years ago. If you go back to the Oakland Raiders game when Case Keenum was the quarterback, and he found that, you know, it was a route, I believe it was like a post route or a slant route, Tim Patrick caught it, made a man miss, got out of bounds, and Brandon McManus hit the game-winning field goal. I expect a productive role here for Tyree Cleveland. So if, in fact, that Courtland Sutton misses time, you can expect to see Jerry Jeudy, Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, and Tyree Cleveland a lot more. KJ Hamler, if he can be healthy. Right now, his status for Monday is questionable as well for the Broncos. But also, how does Sutton's injury, if he does miss time, how does it impact the Broncos' offense? I don't think anything really changes. Look, you know, the Broncos would lose a big play capability threat, a guy who's got the most experience overall in this Broncos team in that receiving core room in terms of productivity. Yeah, you would miss out on that, but other guys would have to step up, and really, that's the mantra. And as cliche as it sounds, it is always next man up, and you have to operate with that mentality. If you operate under the assumption of fear that, you know, hey, how do you replace this guy's production? How do you replace this player? You simply can't replace players, but you can plug in guys and hope that they can replicate or contribute in some way, shape, or form. That's just one of the stresses about being a football coach, I can tell you that. And I'm really worried about the fact that there could be more injuries all across the NFL due to the fact that there was not really a legitimate offseason program for NFL teams. They came in, they're still doing some weight training now, but they're also going to practice, so they're putting their body through some wear and tear. So recovery and nutrition is so important at a time like now. But we'll talk about all that jazz a little bit later on. But some other Broncos news: the Broncos are bringing in Isaiah Irving, and he's expected to sign with the practice squad for the Broncos tomorrow on Saturday, and he'll be eligible to play on Monday night. Will the Broncos activate him, though? That is a bigger question. They may activate somebody else. They may activate Fred Brown with Courtland Sutton's injury and his unclear status as to what's happening. So they'd activate Brown from the practice squad to the active. They'd have to figure that out. I think they'd have to place Von Miller on injured reserve in order to do that. And then you slide in Isaiah Irving to the practice squad where he can reacclimate himself with Vic Fangio's playbook and scheme and eventually maybe get onto the football field for this Broncos. But the Broncos expected to go with a heavy bulk of Jeremiah Tauchu and Malik Reed alongside Bradley Chubb, who is ramping things up in practice as well. Vic Fangio said that he's looked good. He's going to do a little bit more. And I think the Broncos are taking the right approach with Bradley Chubb and his health, especially coming off of that major injury. And some other interesting Broncos news as it pertains to the outside linebacker position was the Broncos had made an offer. They had some interest in Clay Matthews, who formerly played for the Los Angeles Rams last year. They did not come to terms on an agreement. They were far apart a little bit in numbers based on what Denver had offered. And I think a big reason why Denver offered Matthews what he did, I don't know the exact numbers, because if, in fact, Matthews agreed and signed, then all of a sudden that contract becomes vested in him. I believe he's owed about $2 million by the Los Angeles Rams. I don't know. I think the scenario is if the Broncos were to sign him, obviously the Rams would be off the books for that. I'm not quite sure how it exactly works, but obviously there's somebody out there that does. So, you know, I'm not going to dive into the analytics or the logistics of that, but the Broncos did have interest in Clay Matthews as a veteran guy. Now, I'm not saying do not rule out the fact that the Broncos may look at bringing in a veteran at outside backer maybe next week as the Broncos prepare for that Pittsburgh Steelers game on the Eastern time zone early Sunday morning next week. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on, certainly something the Broncos may do, obviously, after week one passes and concludes. But with that said, Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about the Thursday practice report, the injury status of players for both the Broncos and the Titans. Which one should we be concerned about? And also, for the Titans side of things, which one should the Broncos be eyeing and maybe going after if one of these players who is limited plays on Sunday? But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That is NFL Game Pass. And this season, you can get football in your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays. And you can see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, all the crazy catches, all the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every single game every single week for your team. It's all the action, all the football that you can handle, all in one place, and NFL Game Pass is the only place that you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. You get to go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts, techniques, and you get to learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And we also got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's episode of the show. That's our good friends over there, CBD. MD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or if you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. And luckily, our friends over there at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller and shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support that you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBD MD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners of Locked On Broncos 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LockedOnNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com. Promo code LockedOnNFL for 25% off your first purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBD MD. Let's continue our discussion here, Broncos Country, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to Lockdown Broncos, make sure you subscribe. We are here for you every single day and all throughout the season. Here's what you can expect on the podcast. We've got film breakdown in audio format. We've got special guests. We've got interviews lined up, players, coaches. We hear from them all throughout the week, post-game, during the week, during the press conferences, and much more on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button once again. But with that said, Broncos Country, let's talk about the Thursday practice report. Take a look at the injury status of several players on the Broncos. Also, the injury status of several players on the Tennessee Titans, as the Broncos and the Titans will do battle in just 3 days at Empower Field at Mile High. Starting things off here with the Denver Broncos side of things. Nothing really surprising. Nothing's changed, really. Von Miller obviously cannot participate in practice. Did not participate on Thursday. Likely to go on IR at some point. Surgery is expected soon for him. But I think one of the bigger stories, too, on the injury report here for this Broncos team, they did release Todd Davis, and then they brought in Mark Barron, a veteran player formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, former first-round pick. And the expectation for Barron was that he was going to come in and be in that nickel role. The idea was to have Josie Jewell as a two-down backer, and then on third-down passing situations, you're going to have a guy like Mark Barron inside alongside Alexander Johnson to be that coverage dynamic player with his safety linebacker coverage hybrid style that he does possess. But he suffered an injury last week at Empire Field Mile High in the stadium scrimmage on Friday evening. Hamstring issue, and we know all about hamstrings. We've talked about it because that's something that Broncos wide receiver KJ Hamler has been dealing with. But for Mark Barron, he has not yet practiced at all this week. I'm eager to see if he goes limited from a DNP to a limited today at practice. The Broncos are going to practice today. They're also going to go through a practice on Saturday, and then you have the game on Monday. So still a couple days left before some of these guys can maybe ramp things up a little bit overall for the Broncos. But if Barron cannot go this week for the Broncos due to his injury, you can expect to see Austin Calitro. You can expect to see Joe Jones as the two deep guys behind Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson. Just hoping that players can stay healthy because the Broncos just battling a variety of injuries as is already. So we're going to be continuing to monitor that situation with Mark Barron. One of the other biggest questions going around with the Broncos is, what is the status of Bradley Chubb? Now, he's been limited in practice all week this week, and he's done a little bit more day by day. Vic Fangio says he went back and watched the tape, and he's not doing too much, and he's actually progressing along fairly nicely to where he is. So the Broncos, it's not necessarily like Bradley Chubb is limited in what he can do. He's more along the lines limited in terms of what the Broncos want him to do. So they're really being conservative with their approach with him. So we'll continue to monitor where Bradley Chubb is at today and tomorrow ahead of Monday's matchup. We should have a better idea, and the Broncos coaching staff will have a better idea about maybe where Bradley Chubb is at. I expect that he's going to play. Is he going to be on a pitch count, though? We're going to find out from Vic Fangio as the game inches a little bit closer. Same thing with Graham Glasgow. He's expected to play on Monday night, dealing with that ankle injury he sustained in the Broncos stadium scrimmage, the first one at Empower Field at Mile High. Sprained his ankle. Limited in participation and Thursday. That means that usually they go through position-specific drills, but usually are held out of team drills unless they're experiencing a lot of discomfort. And obviously, you know, you want to acclimate him there. So I imagine, I'm just going to say this is a hunch, I imagine that we're going to see Glasgow go from limited to probably full practice by Saturday. He'll probably be a full participant in Saturday's practice. Leading up to the game, he is expected to play, according to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. KJ Hamler as well was limited in practice on Thursday with his hamstring injury. He's going through position-specific drills, obviously being held out of team drills. The Broncos don't want him to go in there and do too much because you could be 3 weeks healed on your hamstring, make one sudden movement, and all of a sudden it's set back to where exactly you were before. I think that's something that the Broncos have to figure out is, what's the fine line? How much can you put on a guy to do? Where is he going to be? Because hamstrings are so tricky. tricky. And really for the Broncos medical staff, it's just something they got to continue to monitor. And it's one of the downsides of being a really fast player. And unfortunately, KJ Hamler is as fast as they come when you take a look at his overall speed and ability. But if he can be healthy, if he can participate fully, make it through the game, even play in the game, you know, if he doesn't play in week one, I don't think it's as big of a deal as many people are made to believe, because the Broncos do have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. I'm not necessarily worried about that. I think they're going to be okay considering they got Tyree Cleveland, Deshaun Hamilton. But, you know, they may have to make some moves there, especially if Courtland Sutton misses time. We talked about it. Fred Brown, maybe Trinity Benson could come up off the practice squad if that's the case. Obviously, they're going to have to fluctuate some roster moves around to make that possible if that were the case. Broncos tight end Albert Okwuegbunam is also limited in practice on Thursday with an ankle injury he also sustained. So the Broncos dealing with ankle, they're dealing with knees, they're dealing with hamstrings, just some soft tissue stuff continuously. And for Albert Okwuegbunam, I don't think the expectation is he's going to see too much on the field on Monday night. I don't think even if he was fully healthy, I don't think he's going to get a lot of run there, considering Noah Fant, considering Nick Vinette, and also considering Jake Butt, who's fully healthy. He's had a very productive training camp as well. I don't necessarily see a spot here for Albert Okwuegbunam in terms of the offensive rotation. But then again, that's just my speculation. That's just my hunch. We're going to find out about it. Special teams will probably be where he makes some hay. Courtland Sutton, obviously, we talked about his injury. He was limited in practice. He went through all of the individual drills, and then it happened, and he didn't get to finish practice, didn't get to go through any of the team drills. So that's why his status was listed as limited. Today's going to be a big key. Will Sutton be limited with his shoulder, or will he be non-participant? You know, that's going to be a big key, I think, to really determine where his status may potentially be. And we're going to find out a lot more today from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, who meets with the media prior to practice starting. We're here from the coordinator as well. We hear from Ed Donatell, Pat Shermer, Tom McMahon, alongside everything else. So it should be good to go for the Broncos. We'll get a little bit more of an update as to where things are at. Trey Marshall was listed on the injury report dealing with the wrist injury. He was a full participant in practice. Obviously not expected to miss Monday's game against the Tennessee Titans. But now let's take a look at the Tennessee Titans side of things. Jahmyl Douglas, an offensive lineman, appears on there with a hand injury. Did not participate on Thursday. Derek Robertson, an outside linebacker, dealing with a knee injury, did not participate as well. Somebody that we do all know, NFL name-wise, Kenny Vaccaro, safety, not injury-related, did not participate on Thursday. More than likely, they gave him a Veterans Day off. He's expected to return to practice today and on Saturday. But one to maybe keep an eye on, too, is Vic Beasley Jr. We know Vic Beasley, obviously coming over from the Atlanta Falcons, a new start for him. We really didn't talk about that in our preview with Locked On Titans host Tyler Rowland yesterday. Vic Beasley, obviously being one of those players, came into camp a little bit late. Limited participation by him on Thursday. Eager to see his participation level today. Wide receiver Corey Davis, someone you always have to keep an eye on too, especially considering there's A.J. Brown. But Corey Davis is another player Broncos fans need to keep an eye on throughout this game, if he in fact does play. Dealing with the hamstring injury, limited participation on Thursday. And like I said, when a player is listed as LP, limited participation, they go through team position drills. They don't go through the team drills. They just go through their position drills with their position coach. So Corey Davis, more than likely, I imagine, will probably participate in Monday's game against the Broncos, and they'll have to account for it. Darrington Evans, one of the players that we talked about with Tyler Rowland on our Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Titans crossover episode, which in case if you missed it yesterday, go back and listen to it. We got a breakdown of what to expect from the Titans when they play the Broncos on Monday night. Titans fans got an insight as to what the Titans can expect from the Broncos on Monday night as well. But he's one of those dynamic running backs that could really get involved in the passing game out of the backfield for Ryan Tannehill in comparison to what Derrick Henry can't do. Dealing with a hamstring injury himself, limited participation. His expectations, according to some of the Titans reports, he should wrap it up on Friday and Saturday. Be ready to go when the Broncos and the Titans face off. But with that said, Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we are going to get into our week one NFL picks, and I'm excited to see if your picks align up with mine or where we are different, and we're going to be keeping track of it all season long with TallySite. So we're going to see what my record is at the end of the season in terms of picking games, and I encourage you all to join me. We'll get that coming up here in just a moment, but in the meantime, check out Locked On Nuggets. What do the Nuggets do right now? Being down 3-1 once again to a Los Angeles Clippers team, and the offense for the Nuggets just seemingly can't get going. Adam Mata, Matt Moore, hosts of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, debate, especially Michael Porter Jr.'s comments after the Nuggets went down 3-1. What does that mean? Is there any hot water? How much should Nuggets fans read into that? Check it out. Locked On Nuggets podcast today. All right, Broncos country, NFL fans that are listening to this podcast here, Lockdown Broncos, on this beautiful Friday. Wake up with us on Monday morning for a game day preview of the Broncos and the Titans. Patrick Chiodi, Zach Seegers, and myself, we break down the pregame action for the Broncos on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. But every single Friday, what we're going to do, we're going to go through our NFL picks for the week. We've got week one coming up. This is all powered by TallySide. They actually keep track of whether or not you were correct in your picks, and I'm looking forward to seeing how I measure up against everybody else. All the experts in the NFL media world, how they pick. And let's start things off with the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington football team. I've got the Philadelphia Eagles winning this one, and one of the reasons why is Washington, we all know they're undergoing a culture rebuild. They're going a locker room rebuild. Dwayne Haskins entering the second season of his career, really for the first full time as the starter under center, being able to get those reps, competing with other guys in practice. We know the feel-good story of Alex Smith returning. That's not going to be enough for the Washington Football Club in order to beat Philadelphia, who I think right now with Jalen Reagor, the anticipation, he wasn't expected to play, but he could play. He was fielding punts during practice on Thursday, so keep an eye on that. But I think Philadelphia right now, returning what they have, I think is still a strong team in that NFC East division. Take a look at the AFC East division, which is a division the Broncos will play here in 2020. You got the Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots, the new look Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the starting quarterback. How long is he going to maintain that before Tua Mania runs wild down there in Miami? They're going to be taking on Cam Newton and the New England Patriots, who, look, the Patriots have been written off by so many people because of the departure of Tom Brady. I think they upgraded a little bit with Cam Newton there because of what he can do. For me, one of the things I'm going to be looking at is whether or not that the Patriots, if Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, adapt their offensive scheme to the talents and strengths of what Cam Newton can do with his mobility and also his arm. I'm really intrigued to be able to see what they could do there. I've got the Patriots winning this game. Then you go to the NFC North. You've got Green Bay at the Minnesota Vikings. And I think the Minnesota Vikings, they have gotten stronger. I think they're going to shock the Green Bay Packers here in week one. It's usually one of those things you see early on, but I think the Packers at some point will be a very strong team in the NFC at the midpoint of the season. They're just going to get off to a little bit of a slow start. You got to think about Devontae Adams being the one weapon that Aaron Rodgers consistently has. Is he still going to be able to go to him effectively? He's going to see a lot of double teams. He's a great route runner and a great separation creator at the wide receiver position. But I do worry about the fact that Green Bay doesn't have as many weapons around Aaron Rodgers that they should. That, to me, is something I'm going to keep my eye on. But Minnesota taking the cake against Green Bay. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. We know Jacksonville's going through the rebuild. They're getting rid of everybody. And Indianapolis, in my opinion, loaded up this offseason. Obviously, the addition of DeForest Buckner is going to make a difference for them defensively. And also, Phillip Rivers, the quarterback, is going to make up for a lot of things as well. So I got the Colts winning this one. Chicago at Detroit. You're going to see Mitch Trubisky getting the start for the Chicago Bears against the Detroit Lions. Really wondering about Kenny Galladay's injury that he sustained as well, whether or not he'll be ready. He's going to be one of those guys there. You know, I'm going to keep an eye on this game because I want to see what Jeff Okuda does at the cornerback position for Detroit. Obviously, the third selection in the NFL draft here in 2020. Just a lot of questions, though, for this Detroit Lions football team. Stafford is back, but what about the weapons at the receiver position? Will other guys step up? That's going to be something I got my eye on. I still think Chicago defensively is very strong. Chuck Pagano's done a very good job with them. Can they maintain that? Can they build on that here in 2020? I got Chicago going into Detroit and winning. The Las Vegas Raiders at Carolina. Carolina's been the one team that everybody's completely written off. Everyone's projected they're going to have the number one pick in next year's NFL draft. I think it's going to be opposite. I think the Carolina Panthers under Matt Rhule are going to be a very strong football team this year. They have a lot of talented offensive playmakers. You get Teddy Bridgewater there at the quarterback position. I think it also counteracts a lot of maybe some of their struggles that they had when you combine Teddy Bridgewater's skill set with Christian McCaffrey, some of the receivers they have, and DJ Moore down there. I think they're going to be in pretty good position. Robbie Anderson's going to be an underrated pickup for them. Defensively, they're very, very young. Obviously, for me, I'm looking at how they can replace Luke Kuechly. I don't know if you can replace him, but you can hope that somebody that's filling up where he's at can be very productive at that position. But I got Carolina beating the Raiders week one of the NFL regular season. Take a look at the NFC East. Once again, you got the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are strong, in my opinion, on paper. They got a little bit of taste of the playoffs last year. They obviously lost to the Houston Texans. They should have had that game. They let it slip away from them. Josh Allen, the biggest question for the success of the Bills is going to ride on the arm of Josh Allen. Can he be smarter with the football? You know, he can run the football. He's mobile enough to be able to do that. He's a bigger quarterback, but can he be accurate with his passes? The addition of Stephon Diggs could be a difference maker alongside John Brown, but outside of that, I still got to see a little bit more. They're going to run the ball really heavily with Devin Singletary, and also at the defensive side. I mean, they have loaded up with defensive talent. They're very strong there defensively. Tre'Davious White got a big payday, and I think they're going to be very productive on the defensive side of the ball. They're my favorites in the AFC East so far. Cleveland at Baltimore, I think, is going to be probably one of the more entertaining games of week one, in my opinion. I think Cleveland is going to get some things going with Stefanski taking over as the head guy there. Baker Mayfield, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, despite some of the rumors of all the stuff that OBJ likes to do in his spare time, I think that this Browns team is going to be a lot more competitive this year offensively, and they might live up to some of the expectations I think a lot of us in the media had prior. And the biggest question is, can Lamar Jackson continue to ride the momentum? Is he going to be a consistent runner? I mean, the fact that he's able to create so many opportunities, rush for as many yards as he did last year, can he do that in 2020? Will teams have figured out a game plan to maybe slow down or contain him? How is he going to do with his passing game? That's going to be something I'm looking at. But I mean, right now, Baltimore is a favorite. They loaded up offensively. They've loaded up defensively. And I think they're going to be a very strong team this year in the AFC. Seattle at Atlanta. I've got the Seahawks winning this one. Russell Wilson, a legitimate MVP candidate every single year. You take him off that team. Seattle is very, very rough and raw around the edges. And it's going to be intriguing to see how Atlanta and Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, and also Calvin Ridley, can Calvin Ridley stay healthy? Obviously, he had a very flashy first season as a rookie last year, but there are some question marks about his long-term health. I've got the Chargers beating the Cincinnati Bengals in Joe Burrow's NFL debut. I got the San Francisco 49ers beating Kyler Murray, and it's going to be a close game. I think Arizona's going to be more competitive. The biggest question is going to ride on, can Vance Joseph figure out finally how to cover tight ends? That's going to be the deciding factor, and I think, in the outcome of this game. Kittle got a big payday. Jimmy G's back, and they're still dealing with a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position down there in San Francisco, so I imagine we're going to see a lot of Kittle. And if we know anything about Vance Joseph's struggles against tight ends, Kittle might have himself a big day, folks. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. I got the New Orleans Saints winning this one. I think they're just loaded up offensively. Offensive firepower, Kamara. You have Michael Thomas. You also have Drew Brees still at the quarterback position, the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. It's going to be a lot. And despite the fact that Tampa Bay's defense is pretty damn good, probably going to be the strong suit of their team this year, the biggest question is going to be, how is Tom Brady going to respond in a new system? There's going to be a lot of storylines, a lot of talk show segments that we're going to talk about in the future when it comes to Tom Brady. I think that the New Orleans Saints get off to a very hot start against Tampa Bay. I think they win by a pretty big margin against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I've got the Los Angeles Rams beating the Dallas Cowboys Sunday night football. That's something I think a lot of people are going to be like, hey, why'd you pick the Rams? I think they're on a mission. You know, they experienced the hangover of going to the Super Bowl and losing the way that they did, struggling last season. I think Sean McVay's going to really try to figure out a way to turn it around defensively. Also, some of the pieces they've added, inside linebacker, really concerns me for them. But obviously, the addition of former Bronco Brandon Staley's defense coordinator, something that I'm going to keep my eye on down there in Los Angeles. And then the first Monday Night Football game, Pittsburgh at New York. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this game here. I just don't think New York has a lot defensively. Saquon Barkley is the guy down there at the running back position on offense. Daniel Jones, but do they have enough talent all around them offensively to be able to sustain against a team like Pittsburgh, who has a strong defense, in my opinion, that's coming back. They've added some pieces there. And at wide receiver, they added Chase Claypool alongside Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner returning back healthy, Ben Roethlisberger back healthy. I see the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this one going into New York. And then I've got the Broncos beating the Tennessee Titans. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a slug them out one. I think it's going to be down to a 23-20 game. Broncos kick a game-winning field goal. I just think the Broncos are going to try to find the fine line between managing the offense and also being able to stop Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans offensively. It's going to be a question. I hate picking or having to give my thoughts on who I pick to win the Broncos game because I cover them, and I just don't like picking, because if I pick the Broncos, people think I'm biased. If I don't pick the Broncos, then I got Broncos fans in my midst saying, oh, you don't believe in this team. Why are you covering this team? It's always the same thing. So that's why I don't like picking games with the teams that I do cover in the NFL markets. But I do think Denver is going to get off on a good start here. I think they're going to win this game. And the record on Monday Night Football season home openers is really, really good. The altitude, the late night start might be a little too much for that Eastern time zone game that we see with Tennessee. We'll recap some of the Sunday action on Monday. We got a game preview. Zach Seegers, Patrick Keoty, and myself, we go through players to watch. We go through some of the keys to the game. Monday's episode, Lockdown Broncos, is a pregame show to the Denver Broncos against the Tennessee Titans. With that said, I'm Cody Rourke. I will see you then.